All right, so we are holding on Lamed Aleph on the day's last line. We discussed in the Gemara yesterday that we have a Machloikas Reb Nosson and Chachamim on the question of, does a kosher to shchitzah require that the person had intention to do shchitzah, or at least do some kind of cutting? Right. We have the Chachamim said yes, and Reb Nosson said no, and therefore Reb Nosson said even if a person threw a knife or knocked down a knife or whatever, so there was Koyach Adam involved, but he didn't do it with any intention to shech, or even to cut. Reb Nosson would say that it's kosher, and we said, Rava had said that our Mishnah, which says that only if only that the shchitah is also only if the knife fell by itself, implies, like Reb Nosson, implies that it holds like Reb Nosson, that if a person knocked it down knowingly, even if there was no intention to shech, then it will be a kosher shchitah.
According to
Reb Nosson, you don't need any intention. As long as it was Koyach Adam, it doesn't matter whether there was any intention or not. According to Chachamim, there has to at least be intention to cut, even if not to shech, per se.
Okay.
So, the halacha is Reb Nosson. So, further on this topic, Amar Rava, Shachat Parav, Shachat Behema Acheret Tiva. Let's talk about what would be the din, according to Reb Nosson, versus the Chachamim, when it comes to the Parah Adumah. Now, the Parah Adumah, you have two dinim that are involved in it. Two somewhat related but different dinim. One is that you have to have only one Parah Adumah shechted at a time, because the pasuk says, the shachat oista lefanav, which means only the Parah Adumah, not you can't shecht two of them together. And then you have another concept, which we talked about the other day, that when it comes to anything involved in preparing the Parah Adumah, if a person does molacha of any kind at the same time as they're doing something involved with the Parah Adumah, then it will possibly. We talked about that the other day. It comes up in a number of places.
Didn't cutting the second Parah Adumah at the same time would be being...
No, so that's the thing. So shechting the second Parah Adumah is not in and of itself other malacha, because it's also involved in doing a Parah Adumah. However, it would violate the Shachat Oysa Lepanav, because not shechting only it, it's shechting
the feet of Parah Adumah.
Oysa means only the Parah Adumah, not two Parah Adumah. So there's two different issues. One is that it has to be Oysa, not Oysa and Chavata, and the other thing is you can't be misafik the malacha. So let's talk about a little bit about how it works out. Shachat part of the Shachat Behema Acheret Tiva. If a person shechts the Parah Adumah, and with it he shechts another animal, with Divrei Hakol Psula, then everybody will agree that the Parah Adumah is possible because you did Malach. The other animal... What kind of Kavachon?
If you cannot shech two Parah Adumahs in one shot...
No, there's two different dinim involved. One is the Shachat Oysa V'loi Oysa V'chavata, and the other is you can't do Malach. So if you shechted another animal together with it, the other animal's shchita will be kosher, because it was a valid shchita. However, the Parah Adumah will be possible on the grounds of malacha, not on the grounds of a shachat oisa v'loi oisa v'achera. Because a shachat oisa means that you can't shecht another Parah Adumah at the same time. It's not talking about holding. However, it's possible on the grounds of malacha. Nishchata behema acheretima. What if he didn't intend to shecht another animal, but another animal accidentally got shechted with it? So then, the Reb Nosson, so then it depends. Now comes in the machloek of the Reb Nosson and the Chacham. The Reb Nosson, part of Sulo Behemoth Shera, according to Reb Nosson, the Parah Adumah will be possible because you have the same problem. Given that the other animal, and Behemoth Shera, the other animal will be kosher, because again, according to Reb Nosson, you don't need Kavana for a Shchita of another Behemoth. Excuse me. They're learning just as much as we're learning rhymes.
I'm thinking of
that. Okay, so then he has every right to be saying his Mishnayis or whatever it is, Balpaz, we do to learn. Okay, you have the right to listen to me and not to be distracted by that. Then, come on. Okay. So, according to Reb Nosson, the other animal will be kosher, because you don't need kavana for shchita. However, it's still, you would misafik the malacha acheret, given that the shchita of the other animal is kosher, therefore it's going to come out that the shchita of the Parah Adumah is possible. L'Rabbanan, according
to... Let me ask you one question. How come when we learn exclusions in a previous chapter, we didn't talk about that?
Because this is something specific to the Parah Adumah.
Yeah. We had a series of exclusions that when we do one, you cannot do the other.
We didn't mention this one because it wasn't relevant over there. Now it's relevant. That's how it is. Divrei Torah, Ani B'makamecha, Bashir B'makamecha. On the other hand, the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, it would be the other way around. Korach Sheger Behemoth Sula. The other animal will be Tosul, because he didn't have Kavanah to shecht it, and according to the Chachamim, you need Kavanah. Therefore, we can't call the Shechita of this other animal Oisik B'malacha Acheret. Because over here, he didn't have in mind another Malacha, so therefore there's no Hesach Hadat. The whole reason why the Par Adrama is Tosul, if you shecht, if you do Malacha at the same time, is because of Hesach Hadat. According to the Chachamim, you don't have a Hetzach Hadass over here because you didn't have in mind, and the Shchita itself is possible. So, yeah. Okay. That is the Girsa as we have it in front of us over here. The Rambam actually seems to have a different Girsa because we know the Halacha is like Rav Nosson, and we said already, and the Rambam Haskins... The Rambam Haskins that both animals will be kosher. The Par Adrama will be kosher, and the other animal will be kosher as well. The other animal will be kosher because according to Rav Nosson, you don't need Kavanah. And the Par Adrama will be kosher because there wasn't Hesach Hadass, they didn't have Kavanah. So the Kesef Mishnah points out over there, in fact, the Rambam must have had a different gear set in our Gemara. That Rav Nosson, both of them are kosher. Okay. So the question is, Pshita, well, okay, isn't that obvious? This that we just said, this distinction over here, according to Rav Nosson, or according to the Chachamim, and then you have a case where he intended to shecht another animal, these rules that we just said, that if he had in mind to shecht another animal with it, then the Par Adrama is possible, because then there was another Malacha done, and then this distinction about Nishchat HaBehema Acheres, about Rav Nosson versus the Chachamim, all of that, based on the principles we had so far, seems to be obvious. The answer is Nishchat HaBehema Acheres for Rav Nosson is Tzirchala. Yes, but the Chiddush actually is the part that according to Rav Nosson, if another animal was shechted, that, without him having Kavana, that's the Chiddush. We would say that according to Rav Nosson, the other animal is kosher and the part Adrama is possible. Or according to the Rambam, that both of them are kosher. Why? Because you would think to say, given that the Pasuk says, V'shachat oisa amarachmana, given that the Pasuk says he should shecht it, and oisa is a mute, v'lo oisa v'chavita, means you're not allowed to shecht two part Adrumas together. So we're told that you can't shecht another one at the same time. Maybe what's the only case where it's possible? You're going to shechach shtei paras v'adi adadi. If you shechted both two par adrumas at the same time, that would violate this issue. That would violate this thing of oisa, meaning not oisa and chavata. Avol behemer dechol and aim aloi. But you would think maybe Rav Nosson would not have a problem with another animal that's not a par adruma accidentally being shechted with it. Because, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, if let's say it wasn't a matter of shita, let's say at the same time you were shechting the Par Adrama, you accidentally cut a pumpkin. Then it wouldn't be considered, everybody would agree that it would be kosher, because that can't be called malacha, because there was no kavana. And the Par Adrama, yeah. If you accidentally, at the same time, cut a pumpkin together with it. Because, since you didn't have anything in mind, it's not called osik malacha. So you would think maybe the same thing would apply to shechting an animal of chulin, which you didn't intend to. Maybe Rav Nosson would say that's okay. Kamash Malan, that is the chiddush that no, the shochat oisa does not only include shechting another par adrama, it also includes shechting another animal of chulin. So when he had in mind another animal, then there's no question.
If you cannot do it with another par adrama, why would you be able to do it with a chulin or anything else?
And why would you be able to do it with a pumpkin? So therefore, what would chulin be more similar to? Would it be similar to another par adrama, or would it be similar to a pumpkin? We're going to say in a second So therefore, let's finish off. The Gemara says, chotach glas ima, if he intended to cut a pumpkin at the same time as shechting the par adrama, divrei hakol psula, everybody would agree it's possible, because then he definitely did malacha, the par adrama, because he definitely did malacha. Nechtach glas ima, but if a pumpkin accidentally got cut while he was shechting the Par Adrama, Divrei Hakol Kshera, then everybody will agree it's kosher, because when it's not the Kavanah, you can't call it Oisik Malacha. So that's the Chiddush, therefore. When it comes to another animal being shechted, you would think, according to the Gusa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, that maybe it should be like a pumpkin, since there was no Kavanah. Yes, another animal was shechted, and yes, according to Rav Nosson, that other animal is now, it's a kosher shchita, because you don't need kavanah. But you would think maybe that doesn't violate the issue of the shachat oisa,
because you can't call it malacha because there was no kabbanan, so it shouldn't violate v'shachat oisa because that would only refer to a second part of Abraham. No, that's the kamash malon, is that it does apply.
And on the basis of what then?
On the basis of, because after all, you have a shchita of another animal over here, that v'shachat oisa does not only mean... This Rishachat Oysa, we would say, means not only another para adoma, it would also include a para of cholin.
You just said, if you chef without intent, a
but according to Rav Nathan, we're saying, because the other one is kosher, meaning it is a valid shchita, therefore, fine, you can't call it misafik for malacha acheret, but nevertheless, it's possible on the grounds of Rishachat Oysa. Remember, we have two different issues over here. You have malacha, you have misafik for malacha acheret, and you have Rishachat Oysa. If we only had Mas'asik from Malacha, we would say that according to Rav Nathan, if you accidentally shefted another animal together with Parah Adoma, it wouldn't be a problem because there was no Kavana, there was no Mas'asik from Malacha. Now we're telling us, though, the Chiddush is, what Rav is telling us is, you should know, but there's still the other factor of the Shachat Oysa to consider. And the Shachat Oysa does not refer only to a second Parah Adoma, it also refers to any other animal. So if you cut a pumpkin together with it, fine, that's not another animal. So you're not over on the Shachat Oysa. Malacha you don't have because there's no kavana, therefore you're good. But when it's an animal involved, then you have a different issue. Again, that's the girsa as we have in front of us over here. The Rambam's girsa would be somewhat different. He would say that the chiddush is that in fact the shachat oista only refers to when he had only would only refer to another part of adroma, or only if he had kavana for another animal, because then there's malacha. But not like this where he didn't have kavana and another animal got shechted, because again the Rambam learned in our Gemara that according to Rav Nathan, both of them are kosher, the part of adroma and the other animal.
As opposed to the Gemara.
As opposed to the printed Gemara that we have in front of here that says that the part of Adruma would be possible and the other animal would be kosher.
So it's possible that you shechti one behemoth without having one, you shechti two?
Yeah, because you have a long enough knife, let's say, and you happen to have another behemoth standing next to there, and you accidentally cut it, and you accidentally cut it to the Maramosa.
So how do we have this girsa and
Ramam
is another
girsa? How do we have a different girsa all the time? Because the printing was only invented 1,000 years after the Gemara was finished, so during that 1,000 years, you had different times.
According to our Gemara, the second...
According to the printed Gemara in front of us over here, the parad Juma, according to Rav Nathan, will be kosher, the shita of the other animal will be kosher. According to the Rambam, here's that both of them will be kosher, according to Rav Nathan.
Okay. And that's the halacha?
The halacha is, that's how the Rambam has said it.
But why we don't...
Because we don't have any... We have, the halacha is like Rav Nathan, but according to Rav... According to the Rambam, the Girsa and Rav Nathan, again, it's still Chassal Mashishah. We don't have Parah Adoma nowadays. When a Parah Adoma is brought again, when a Parah Adoma is prepared again, then the Sanhedrin can decide whether to keep the halacha like the Rambam or whether to follow the Girsa. Yeah, that's how it is. That's a good question. Yes. But Girsa makes a major difference in halacha, as we're going to see, actually, as we have throughout Shas, but we're going to have actually in the next piece of Gemara as well. We have a different Girsa that makes a difference in halacha. Sure. That's how it is. No, not necessarily. We learned yesterday that we have Rabbeinu Bar Tochlis for shechting them in flight.
That's all you understand.
Fine.
But like the behemoth, it's like you tell them things to cut them yesterday. They have to hold the head because it's automatically.
Maybe not. I don't know. You could have another animal sleeping next to there. I don't know. Whatever. We're not saying it's not necessarily the most realistic thing, but it could happen. Okay, fine. Mishnah says. Now we're going to talk about the dinim of Shehiyah. Which is another, so far we've dealt with a number of the things that Pasul Shchita. We've talked about Hagroma in the first parak. We've talked about Chaloga briefly, and we're going to talk about it later on in the next mission after this one. We talked about Zerosa. Now we're on to Shia. Mishnah says, Nafla Sak in Vihigbiya. Suppose the person started shechting, and then he dropped the knife and he picked it up, and therefore there was Shia, the delay while he's picking up the knife. What do you mean automatically? The fact is, while he's bending down to pick up a knife, that's a pause in the shchita. Depends how long the pause is. We'll see. Hold on. We'll see how long the pause is. Relax. The point is that the Mishnah wants to establish for us that regardless of the cause of the shahiyah, whether it was deliberate, whether it was accidental, whether it was even an onus, shahiyah is shahiyah as long as you have a long enough pause. How long that pause has to be, we shall see. The first case is not what's back in the Higbiyah, is that the Shahiyah was caused by him dropping the knife and having to pick it up. Number two, Nuffle Kalev the Higbiyah. Another example would be if his clothes fell off and he had to put them back on. A third example would be Hishchit that the Sakin were off, if he sharpened the knife before Shchita, and that made him tired. So therefore, when he came to Shecht, he didn't have the strength to finish the Shchita. So therefore, he stopped in the middle, and someone else went and finished up the Shchita. Or that's one explanation of Hishka's backing off. Another explanation is that in the middle of the shchita he got tired. That in the middle of the shchita he had to take time to resharpen the knife and he got tired, he fainted or whatever. Somebody else came and finished. Yeah. So in all those cases, in shahar today shchita p'sula. In all those cases, if the pause was long enough for shchita, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means, p'sula and the shchita is possible. That is the definition of shidia.
If he
sharpened the knife, the Mishnah brought various cases to show that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it comes to Shahiyah. It doesn't matter whether it was deliberate or accidental or an onus. It doesn't matter whether Shahiyah is between him continuing the Shkita and somebody else. Either way, as long as the pause is long enough to constitute Shahiyah, then it's Shahiyah.
Why don't the Mishnah doesn't say that?
But that's what the Mishnah is implying. Rav Shimon Omer in Shah Kedei Bikur. Rav Shimon says it's not the time for Shechita, rather the amount that's considered Shehiyah is the time for Bikur, which we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Bikur means examination. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Okay. The Gemara still says, my Kedei Shechita. What do we mean the length of time it takes to do the Shechita? That would say in that Shehiyah. Omer Rav Kedei Shechita Sehema Achela. The Rav says that means the amount of time that it would take to shecht another animal. In other words, Rashi says, you might have thought Kedei Shechita maybe means the amount of time it takes to finish the current Shechita. So let's say, for example, by the time he made the pause, let's say he had done 40% of the Shechita. So then you would say it's however much time it takes to do at least the remaining 11%. But no, that's the point. The reason why Rav is saying that not is because we have a concept that the Gemara itself is going to bring up soon. It's called Masata Dvarecha L'Shiurin. That in general we have, and in halacha, we try to make absolute standards. The whole concept of Shahiyah is halacha meshmitina anyway. You don't want to have relative standards that depends how much you did, and therefore you're going to have however much it takes to finish from that point on. The Shiur is nikva according to the amount of time it takes to do the whole thing. Which we find that in other places in halacha also. For example, you have cases where a person pauses in the middle of Krishna and they have to start all over. Again, the pause over there that makes them have to restart is not the amount of time from where he's holding the Shema until the end. It's the amount of time it would take to say from the beginning until the end. Same thing with Megillah reading on Purim. Same thing with a number of other areas in halacha. Okay.
Everybody has the same time.
We're talking about how long it would take this particular person, I guess, to say Krishna. Okay, so the same thing over here would mean how long it takes this specific person. Okay. However, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked Rav, we got to clarify, what do you mean Kadesh Shechitas Behema Acher? Do you mean Kadesh Shechitas Behema Le Behema V'Oif V'Oif? Do you mean that if there's Shehiyah in the middle of shechting an animal, then the Shehiyah is the amount of time it would take to shecht another animal? But if the Shehiyah is in the middle of shechting a bird, which of course takes less time, then it's a shorter time, only the amount that it would take, the amount of time it would take to shecht another bird. Or maybe not. Maybe we have the Shehiyah is the amount of time it would take to shecht the behema, and we use that Shehiyah even for the shechting of a bird. So if we assume, let's say, for example, that it takes, So if we assume, let's say, that it takes 5 seconds to shecht an oif, and it takes, let's say, 30 seconds to shecht a behema, so does it mean that the Shehiyah for a behema is 30 seconds and for the Shehiyah for an oath is 5 seconds? Or does it mean that the Shehiyah for both of them is 30 seconds? Amulahu, so he answers them, I don't know the answer because I have a bedichna beba chabibi. I was not on friendly terms with my uncle, meaning Rav Chiya, the Ishaile that I should be able to ask him. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that when I was learning this halacha from Rav Chiya, who was Rav's uncle, he was actually Rav's double uncle, because he was his uncle from his father's side and from his mother's side. Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle, and he was actually his uncle from his father's side and his mother's side, because Rav Chiya was a half-brother of Rav's father, and a half-brother from a half-brother from the other side to Rav's mother. So there was a blended family, so a boy from one side, Ivo, married the girl from the other side, Ima, her name was, and Rav is their son. So Rav Chiya is the one in between. He's a half-brother to one and a half-brother to the other. Anyway, he was Rav's uncle. So Rav is saying, as Rashi says, L'chosa daiti gasa, I wasn't on good terms at that point with Rav Chiya. He wasn't the save upon him, he wasn't acting in a way that I could be comfortable asking him such a question, and therefore I didn't ask him. We see even the Gemara mentions in other places the importance of that a Rebbe has to have save upon in the office towards the Talmud, so that the Talmud will feel comfortable asking when he doesn't understand. Otherwise, yes. What?
Want to ask you a question?
Okay, but there's also a difference how a Talmud asks a question. Also, there's also a difference, you know. Okay. Of course. Yeah. Betrami said you have makabel told him save upon him. Yes, but there's different. I mean, on the one hand, the rabba has to be mazbe upon him the Talmud. On the other hand, the Talmud also has to be asking decent trials. Let's go on. Okay, let's go on. However, then we have a further discussion about this. Okay, so Rav didn't hear from Rapia what the answer was, but later on, Rav came up with his own svara. You find sometimes, in fact, they point out, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who are asking Rav on this, the Gemara points out elsewhere, I think it's Sanhedrin, that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi knew as much as Rav as far as Svara. They needed his Kabbalah. Like this, Rav had learned by Rav Chia, which Rav Kahana and Rav Asi hadn't. But like this, when they asked Rav, they would be asking, what did you learn from your Rebbe? As far as Svara, we can think of Svara ourselves. So now that he told them, I don't know what Rav Chia would say about this, but he comes up with his own Svara. Okay. So his svara is, Kadesh Shechitas Behemel Behemel Ba'oi Foy. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it means the amount of Shehiyah will depend what type of creature it is. If it's an animal, then the amount that a tape would take Shechitas. Right. Well, it is uniform across what type of creature. Fine, but Shmuel Amafil Behemel Oy. Shmuel says no. It means even the amount of time that it takes to Shechit the Behemel is the amount of Shehiyah for an Oy. That's Shmuel who's saying that. Which means, therefore, that Shmuel is more Mekel than Ram. The Shmuel holds that you'd have, let's say, in the scenario I gave before, the same 30 seconds, even if you're talking about an oath. Okay. V'chein ki also Robin Amr Rav Yechanan, and so also when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rav Yechanan said, I feel a behemoth oath, but it means even the amount of time it takes to shecht a behemoth is the amount of shear for an oath. Okay. More opinions on the subject, or, well, hold on. First of all, we have, according to the way we have it in the Gemara over here, we have at least one more opinion on the subject, namely Rav Chananya, or Chanina really, Omar, Kadesh Yavi Behema Acheres V'Yishchoi. The amount of time is actually not just the amount of time that it takes to shech the animal, but the amount of time that it would take to bring another animal and shech it.
Well,
so what do you mean? The question is Yavi Afilo Ma'alma. What does that mean, to bring it? And where are you bringing it from? Sometimes it could be closer, sometimes it could be further. You're back to the problem that then you have different amounts of time. You're not making a uniform, you're not making some kind of uniform rule. So the Papa says, you're right. Even Rav Chanina doesn't mean that you have to figure out where the nearest animal of that kind is and bring it. It means, we're talking about, suppose you have another animal of that type over there, but we're talking about according to Rav Chanina, it's not just the amount of time it takes to shecht it, which is what Rav Yechanan says, it would be the amount of time it would take to get it down onto the ground and shecht it. Hatola, Imedes Lahato, you have the animal standing there, and Lahato, you need to get it down onto the ground in order to shecht it, because that's the normal position in which you shecht an animal, that would be the Nachamina. Rav Yechanan would say that the amount of Shehiyah is just the time it takes for the Shechita itself, 30 seconds in our example. Rav Chanina would add another few seconds, the time it takes to get the animal back. You have a lot of Rishonim who do not have the Girsa, and here's another example where Girsa makes a difference in Halacha. You have a lot of Rishonim who do not have the Girsa, Ika Benayu. They leave out the word Ika Benayu. And according to that, it's Omer HaPapa Emedes Lahasil. That Rav Papa is saying, it's not that Rav Chanina and Rav Yechanan are arguing, which is the way we have the Girsa in front of us and the way Rashi learns. Rather, it means that when Rav Yechanan had said, that when Rav and Rav Yechanan had said, or at least when Rav Yechanan had said, Afilo Behema Lo'oif, what Rav Yechanan meant by that is not just the time for Shechita, but Rav Chanina is clarifying and saying it means the time for getting it down onto the ground and checking. And therefore, that makes the question who the halacha would be like. So Tosfos says the halacha should be like Shmuel and like Rav Yechanan, even though usually in when you have Rav against Shmuel and Dini Issa Vehetu, usually the halacha is like Rav. However, Tosfos says in this case you have Rav Yosef ben Chanina, who we're going to quote next, who seems to go more like Shmuel and Rav Yechanan. Rashi says you should pass him like Rav or Chumrah. But then again, if your papa is telling us that Rav Chanina is not really a separate opinion, but rather that Rav Chanina is clarifying what Rav Yechanan means, then it comes out, a kula, it comes out, he's passing like Rav Yechanan, and it means you're saying the amount of time it takes to get the animal down and then check it. So we'll talk about soon what the actual bottom line halacha is. But hold on. We'll get to it. Amri b'mal rova m'shmeid Rav Yosef b'chanina. Then they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yosef b'chanina, the amount of time that's considered shehiyah is kedesh yagbihena v'yagbitzena v'yishchad. It's the amount of time that it would take to stand up the animal, then to lay it down, because that's the normal way you do it. You're supposed to make it stand up straight, then you lay it down to shecht it, and shecht. Daka l'daka v'gasa l'gasa. And within that, it would be, it depends whether we're talking about a behema daka or a behema gasa, a sheep or a goat versus a cow or whatever. So if we're talking about when you're in the middle of shechting a sheep or a goat, then it would be the amount of time it takes to stand up the sheep and lay it down and shecht it. If we're talking about a cow, then it would be the amount of time it takes to stand that up and lay it down and shecht it, which would be a longer amount of time. So again, here you have a machlokas who's showing him what we mean by that. Is Rav Yosef b'Chanina, Rashi learns that Rav Yosef b'Chanina is following Rav's shita. Rav, who had said that we say that you go according to behema for behema and oif for oif, we would say Rav Yosef b'Chanina is following that and furthermore distinguishing between behemoths themselves, between daka and gasa. Many other Rishonim don't learn like that. They learn that Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina is saying a separate thing, which in that case, then again, it affects the question who the halacha is like. So in fact, what actually comes out, you're asking what does the Rambam say? And keep in mind, here what we're talking about, when we're talking about things of Shita Kolim, the Rambam is not necessarily the last word on it, because you have other Rishonim who codify and discuss these things as well. When it comes to things involving Kodshim, and then things of Tum of Tara or whatever, the Rambam is essentially the Poshik Achron, because you don't have anybody after him who dealt with it systematically, but when you deal with issues of Kolim or other things that are negated nowadays, then you have many other Rishonim. What do you mean, who, for instance? You have the Rif, you have the Rosh, you have the Ramban, you have the Rashba, you have, et cetera. Okay. So, the Rambam writes that we do follow Rav Yosef b'Chanina, and therefore what we actually do is, he says, therefore, you have, it would come out like this. He also learns, similar to Rashi, that Rav Yosef b'Chanina is basically following Rav's Shita, except, though, that Rav had said you go according to behema for behema and according to a bird for a bird. The Rambam learns that, no, you go according to Rav Yosef b'Chanina. We would say the amount for behema gasa is the amount of time it takes to stand it up, lay it down, and check the behema gasa. For a behema daka, it would be the amount of time it takes to do those three things for a behema daka. For a bird, you don't have a separate shear for a bird. Rather, you have the amount of time that it would take for a behema daka. That's how the Rambam learns. And the Rosh has a problem with it. He says it sounds like the Rambam is trying to make a compromise or something over here. And then different other poskim and notes to Kalim. I'm sure Hanarach, I'm going to never say that. No, it's not a compromise. As the Rambam actually understood our Gemara to be saying that that's Rav Yosef b'Chanina's shita, and he passed him like it. He said behemad daka and behemad gasa. He didn't say anything about birth.
So that's
one way of understanding the Rambam, therefore that's how he holds. However, so in Shulchan Aruch, again, it brings that opinion, but it also brings the opinion of Rashi over here, that you should be machmir like Rav, where Rav is saying for a bird, you have a smaller amount of time, the time it would take to shech a bird, and really, the amount of time to shech a bird is not very long at all. Bird is, you see, like a forest, they shech them very quickly. Not only that, but on top of that, you have a machlokas rishonim. Are we talking even the amount of time it takes to shech the entire two simonim of the creature, or just the amount of time it takes to shech loy, the minimum amount that you need for a kosher to shech, and in that case, even less by a bird. So therefore, that Amal says, the result is, the minhag is, that we passel any kind of shahia, even if it was only a very short one, because of these spaces. Because of these spaces, who the halacha is like, and then because that's all an issue. All right, so yeah, so therefore we have to be
so
machmir.
So we pass all what?
Any amount of shahia. So therefore it has to be. In other words, that there was a continuous shkita for us. The Avnei Nezer actually brings an interesting thing in this regard. There's a Zohar that tells a story that in Rabbi Yehuda's time, the shofet named Rabbi Abba, who he meant to cut both the money with a bird, and by mistake he cut only one. So Rabbi Yehuda tells him that they don't ever serve as a shofet again, basically because you don't completely know what you're doing. So the question is, why can't he just check the second siman? So the Avnei Nezer develops an interesting idea. He says that you find the Kabbalim, including the Rama Misano, who is the Asura Mamoris, who says that Rav Abba in the Zohar usually means Rav. So therefore, it would come out, if we learn, like Rashi's understanding of Rav, that Shehiyah by a bird is next to nothing, he can't check the next siman, because then you have a problem with Shehiyah. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, basically, it's too late. And therefore, you, according to your own shit, they're Rav, then it's too late. You can't do anything more. So therefore, yeah.
He was holding like Rav.
So now he's holding like Rav, but he's saying, you Rav yourself, Rav Abba, you yourself hold this way, that at this point it's too late to continue, and you meant to cut through both simanim. Fine, technically it's a bird, you only need one simon anyway, but nevertheless, since according to your shit, it would be Shehiyah if you were to continue, then therefore don't do that in the future. Boy Rob. Oh, sorry. Omar Rob. Okay, so Rob says, here's another din regarding Shehiyah. Hashoichet b'sakin Rob. If somebody is shechting using a dull knife, afilu kolayon kuloi, even if he's going back and forth all day long, kshera, then the shechita is kosher because there's no actual interruption in the middle.
There's no Shehiyah.
However, you do have a machlokes rishonim in that. Would it actually have to be that he's at least accomplishing something? Is at least that he's cutting 1% at a time or whatever he is, each time he is gradually cutting more and more, or would it be enough he's just passing it back and forth even if no actual cutting is being done?
That's what holding his sharpness in order, or made personally, that, you know, it's the idea is that it's very, very sharp.
It's supposed to be very sharp, but the more important point, as we've learned in the first paragraph, is that it has to be smooth. If there's any nicks in it, then it's half also shechita.
Right.
If it's dull, that's what the Gemara is saying over here, isn't it? So that's the Al-Tilever talks about in his Trubon about Sakinim Mulutoshim, about the Takana of the musician Magid, and then later on it became more general among all shechitim that you use knives made out of steel that's sharpened to a point, as we talked about earlier. Part of the idea is Al-Tilever says that because with knives that are not made like that, with knives that are just made as one big slab and then they taper at your point, it's very hard to make them both sharp and smooth. And since smooth is required by halacha, and sharp is not so required, as we see in Omar over here, so the shochetim said, okay, if we have a trade-off, better to make it better to make sure it's as smooth as possible, even at the expense of sharpness. Now comes Sakin and Milotashim, and you have the best of both. You're able to make them smooth and sharp. So therefore, that's the advantage of those. Milotashim means honed. It means like they're made out of polished steel or whatever in such a way they taper from the top towards the blade, and therefore, okay. Fine. Boy Rava, so now Rava asks the question, Shehiyah Smaushi Starfu. Do Shehiyah count? Do Shehiyah join together? Let's say, for example, you started a shechita. Let's say we go with the shechita of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan before, according to the Rishonim who hold like them. Let's say then we say that by any kind of creature, the Shehiyah of Shehiyah is 37. So let's say he started a shechita, then he did Shehiyah for 10 seconds, continued, did Shehiyah for another 10 seconds, continued, another Shehiyah for 10 seconds. Do those groups, do those add up to make 30 seconds or not? So the question is, Kishat Lamidiyeh, okay, Rava himself just said this, you're shechting with a dull knife, even if you're going all day, it's kosher, so why can't he answer based on that? Okay, Rav Huna Breder of Nassan asked another question. Shah b'miut simanim mahu. What would happen if he did Shehiyah in a minority of the simanim? What would be the din? And the answer is taken. What is the case over here? Rashi learns, as he learned before on Lamed Amud Beis, when we had a similar question as far as Halacha, that what we're talking about is you did the Roiv simanim without any problem, then you did Shehiyah after the Roiv simanim, and then you continued. would that be good or not? Do we say once you did most of the simanim, the shchita is already kosher, so at that point it's just kimachatas baser, or do we say when you continue cutting the simanim, then it's still considered a continuation of the shchita, and therefore you have a problem of shivya? Same exact question, as Rashi said, was as far as halaja, the same question we would have as far as shivya. That's how Rashi is. Tosfos again over there has the same problem with Rashi over here that he does over there, that can't mean that, because if you already shechted most of the simanim, then there's no question, why should it be a problem? You already cut through most of those, the shchita is finished at that point. So therefore, Rebbe Natan learns over there, as he did with Chalada, that we're talking about if he did shehiyah near the beginning, he started in near simanim, he started, let's say, he cut through only one third of the simanim, and in the course of that one third, at some point you did shehiyah, then you continued the rest of it, and the question would be whether it's kosher or not. And then Tosfos brings also over there from Rav Oshia, who says another explanation. It's a continuation of Rava's question about the dull knife. The question would be like this. We said that if you're doing with a dull knife, a sakin ra, we say even if kolach behavi kolayim kolay kosher, even if you're doing a whole day, as long as eventually you cut robes to money and then you grow. The question would be, what would happen, let's say, this is how Rav Oshia learns in Tosfos, the question. Let's say, so you started, you shechted robe of one of the simon. Then you continued, at that point your knife was too dull, and therefore you're continuing going back and forth on the remainder of that one simon. And eventually you get through it, and eventually you get to the second simon, but by the time you get to the second simon, already an amount of time equal to shehiyah has passed. The question would be, when do we say it's kosher with a sakin raw? That's when you're trying to cut the simon, and because the knife is dull, it's taking you longer than normal. But here, arguably, you could say, once you already cut groove of the simon, then it's as if the whole simon was cut. Now you continuing to try to get through the rest of the simon is not considered part of the shita process. Therefore, we would say, in other words, you did groove of the first simon, now you're trying to do the rest of that simon. We would say that part is not considered part of the shita process. That's considered shahiyah, because you're taking your time cutting through the rest of it. Therefore, by the time you get to the second simon, you already have shahiyah. Or maybe not. Maybe the fact that you're trying to cut through makes that it is part of the shchita process.
So one second, he's saying you come from the anterior of the neck.
You come from the front of the neck. So let's say, a point of Oshia, what we mean is like this. So let's say you started going from the front of the neck. You cut through two-thirds of the corner, let's say. Then, at that point, the knife is dull, and now you're having a hard time getting through the rest of the one-third of the corner. So it takes you, let's say, 30 seconds or 45 seconds or whatever it is to get through the rest of it. You finally get through the rest of it, then you start cutting the vesh. The question would be, do those 30 or 45 or whatever it is seconds that you were trying to cut through the rest of the kana, do those count towards the shita process or not? If they do, then you're okay. There's no shahiyah. If not, then you had shahiyah for those 30 or 45 seconds. And therefore, it would be possible. According to the Oshia and Tosfos, that's the question. Okay. Chalada is where the knife was hidden. Where you went under, set under the skin, or under a cloth, we have the sophic over there, or you went behind the simon. Yeah.
The second simon was not shechted when...
If the second simon was never shechted,
then why would you consider shita was...
Because eventually you cut through the second simon. The knife may be dull, but nevertheless, eventually you get through it.
Well, the question is, from the time that it becomes dull to the time when you finish the vesh, is it more than the...
That's what Rav Oshia said. That's the question. That time, when you were cutting the rest of the first simon, which after all, the rest of the first simon is not essential for the shchita process, because you only need roiv of each simon, so does that count towards the shchita process, or does it not?
Sure, because it allows you to go to the neck.
That's one possibility, but remember, the vesh is also accessible from other sides as well. You can go from a different side of the neck. You can go even actually from the side, if one's supposed to only be the other, from the daki, or chilav, or whatever.
Yeah. Didn't go
to the fact is, the fact is, though, you could argue that, fine. So anyway, teiku, and therefore, so we're machmir with all these different possibilities of shahiyah. On top of that, again, we have what Rashi said before, that maybe the halacha is like rav, and that at least for a bird, the amount of shahiyah is very small, and therefore, in practice, the halacha is the pasul, the shchita, if there was even a small amount of shahiyah, right? Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer and Shah Kedei Bikur, we said Rav Shimon says that the amount of shahiyah is not the amount of time it takes to shech, with all of the different opinions that we said about that, but rather the amount of time it takes to examine. So my Kedei Bikur, what do we mean the amount of time it takes to examine? Amar Rav Yochanan Kedei Bikur Eshel Chacham. It means the amount of time that it would take a Chacham to check the knife. And we've learned before, the knife has to be checked on all three sides, and it has to be checked with a fingernail, never, so it takes time. again, the problem is in Kain Nasata Zvara al Shiurin. Aren't you back to the same problem that it's not a, that according to the Shimon, it's not a consistent amount. So sometimes the Chacha might be further away, sometimes he might be closer. Ella, no, what it means is Kedibikur Tabach Chacham. It means suppose the Tabach, the Shoichet himself, is a Chacham and is capable of checking the knife himself, how long would it take him himself to check his knife to make sure that it's enough goodness or whatever? Rav Shimon says that is the amount of time that constitutes Shiva. Halacha is like the Chachamim, though, that it's the amount of time Kadesh Shchita, with all the different opinions in the Gemara of what exactly that is. Okay. Fine. Now we're going to talk about, so now let's talk about, the Mishnah says, continuing on topics of things that pass off Shchita. And by the way, also I should mention, for completeness of sake, Rashi mentions that in this previous one, if we say, and Rashi learns that the halacha is like Rav, that at least for the bird you have a very short amount of shahiyah, therefore Rashi says the result is, if you shechted one simon in a bird, and later on you want to shecht the second one, don't, because you may have a problem with shahiyah. And according to Rashi, that's Rehona bar Nachman's topic, Shah b'mir simonim, and now you're continuing. Then
you shecht a simon in a bird, and you wait here.
And now you wait, and now you want to shecht the other one. So Rashi says, don't do that, because, again, according to Rehona bar Nachman, or actually, what Rashi says is not one simon. Sorry, what Rashi says is, you shechted roiv simonim. You shechted roiv of the two simonim, let's say. Then you threw it down, and now the bird is about to die, don't go shech the mute, because then you may have the puna bar nothing topic about shah the mute simonim, because remember Rashi learns that mute simonim is at the end. Therefore, Rashi says, better hit the bird on the knife with the neck, or just wait until it dies or whatever, finish killing it in some other way that doesn't involve shchita, in order that you don't get into this question of whether it would be shahir or not. Once you shechted the two simonim, if you don't do anything further, fine, the shechita is kosher. But if you then continue shechting the mute simonim, then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, if you shecht one simon.
I guess the same thing would be if you shechted one simon and now you want to shecht the other one.
So you could say, as soon as you shechted one simon, you might as well not shecht another one.
Basically, and that's exactly what the Avnei Nezer is learning in that Zohar that I was quoting before. All right, let's go on. The Mishnah says, shechat et avesh du posek et agaver. Suppose the person shechted the vesh properly. Now remember, of a bang, and then he interrupted, but it also means he cut, but it means not a valid cut, a chita, the gargeres, the windpipe. So Rashi learns that posak et gargeres means that he did equal on it, that he dislocated the gargeres from where it's supposed to be attached inside the muscles or ligaments or whatever it is that hold it inside.
Doesn't it
usually you would check the gargaris before the vesh, right. Because it's in the front. However, it doesn't have to be. First of all, you can be toast with simonim and then move them around, we looked before, and connect them with a bird. And second of all, you can also be shechting from an angle on the neck or whatever, we end up reaching the vesh first. So anyway, Rashi learns that posek at the gargaris means that he did ikur on it. Rashi learns that when we learned in the first parak the five basic things that pass shita, and we said one of them is ikur, Rashi understands our Mishnah to be an example of ikur. Tosfos points out over there that
valid point.
Rashi says, ikur can also include where you shecht, for example, with a knife that has a nick and therefore you rip the simon. And that would also be included in ikur. However, Rashi says that ikur can also mean where you dislocated the simonim, where you dislocated the simonim and then shechted them. Tosfos brings over there from the Bahag, and Tosfos brings various places in Amos Sefer this concept, that's not what it means, because all the five things that we're saying are with the psul during the shchita itself. Not we're talking about over here that you dislocated the gargaris, which is not in and of itself part of the shchita process. So therefore they learn that ikur means, for example, you shechted with a knife with a nick in it. Where you have, they agree, it's true that if you have ikur simonim, that if you have, if the simonim are dislocated, that's a different issue. It's not so much that the animal is nevela or trefa, as we're going to discuss, just that shchita will not be effective. You can't do shchita on simonim that are nekar, on simonim that are dislocated. So in other words, in effect, the animal is still mutter as long as it's alive. Mutter, I mean, what are you supposed to do with it, though? You can't, well, eventually it'll be nevela, because eventually it's going to die, and you're not going to be able to do proper shchita on it. But we've discussed before, it means, for example, as long as the animal is alive, its milk will be mutter, if it's a chicken, its eggs will be mutter, et cetera. Because according to the Baha'i, in and of itself, it's not nevela or treifa necessarily just because of that. It's just that you're not going to be able to test it. So anyway, so according to many of the Rishonim, Pasak HaTagaderes does mean that he cut it, but it means he cut it improperly. He cut it from back to front, or he cut it from back to front, what he's supposed to do from front to back, or he cut it using a knife with a nick in it, or whatever, all those are included in Pasak. Okay.
Gagaris
is a Kana, yes. Another name. The Masters, I guess, because Kana means a pipe, so therefore it means a windpipe, but Gagaris means I'm not sure what the word Gagaris comes from exactly. Maybe it's related to the word gargle, I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway, it's two different names for the thing. I think I've seen one explanation that maybe Kana refers to, remember we learned in the first parak that the windpipe has half rings of cartilage around it, going up and up until you get to the top ring, the cricoid cartilage. No, before the cricoid, underneath that, you have the cricoid cartilage, the one big ring that surrounds it, which completely surrounds it. So therefore, maybe there's an idea, maybe the conner refers to the membrane, that's the actual windpipe itself, and the gargaris includes the whole thing with the rings of cartilage around it. Whatever it is, anyway. Okay. Fine. Anyway, so that's one example. He shafted the besh, and then cut the gargaris warmly, or the other way around. Another example would be the other way around. He cut the gargaris improperly, according to Rashi that it was dislocated, according to everybody else that he shafted it with a nick knife or whatever, and then he shafted the vesh properly. Or he shafted one simon properly and then just left the animal to die without shafting the other one at all. Or he stuck in the knife underneath the second one, meaning between the mafrekes and the second simen, and he cut it that way, going from the back of the neck towards the front, which is wrong. So in all those cases, we know the animal is no good, but what kind of no good? Rav Yesheva of Oyma Neveva, Rav Akiva Oyma Shefa. Rav Yesheva says in that case, the animal will actually be Neveva, meaning that it'll actually be metame tumas Neveva, that a kazayit of it, if it's an animal, will be metame a person. If he touches it or carries it, and a kizayis of a bird of it, if it's a bird, will be metame the person when he swallows it. Yes, yes. And Rabbi Akiva says treifa, because Rabbi Akiva says at least there was something that constitutes a semi-valid shtickle. Therefore, it wouldn't be metame. Chlal Omer Rabbi Yesheva of Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yesheva said, let me explain my rule. He gave a general rule in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So any time when the psul happened during the shchita itself, nevela, then the animal is nevela. Kol shchitasa karoi, whereas the shchita itself is proper. The dover achem gardem lali posel. But then there's a side thing that caused it to become posel. Let's say, for example, one of the 18 shreifas that we'll learn in the next parak. Then it's shreifa. V'hoidelo Rav Akiva, and Rav Akiva conceded to Rav Yesheva that that's correct, meaning that in the cases of our mishnah, he agreed that it would after all be nevela because the psul happened during the shchita itself. So, the Gemara starts off. We said, Shachat is a Vesh to the full of a Hoydalot of Akiva. We said that if he shechted the Vesh, all these various cases in the Mishnah, where he shechted one properly and one improperly, or one properly and the other one not at all. So we said that in the end, Rabbi Akiva agreed with Rabbi Sheva that the animal is Nevela, not the Treva. The Gemara says, there are many. I have a contradiction. The beginning of the next parak starts, Elu Trefas the Behema. The following cases are Trefa in an animal. And the first two of them are Nekuvas HaVesh Uksukas HaGaveret. One where there's a hole of any size in the vesh, in the esophagus, in the food pipe. And the other one is Uksukas HaGaveret, if there's a large enough hole or break or whatever in the Gaveret. And the implication is that those are only Shreifa, not Nevela. If you say that Rabbi Akiva stuck his principles, okay, then the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak is according to Rabbi Akiva. But if Rabbi Akiva ended up conceding and agreeing with Rabbi Sheva, then who is that next Mishnah, who is at the beginning of the next parak, who is it like? You do have, by the way, a discussion among Rishonim, among other things, when we mention over here the Vesh and the Gargaris. Do we mean that both of them, is the Gemara saying over here that if either one of them has a hole in it of the appropriate size, then the animal is nevela rather than shreifa? Or does the Gemara mean, fine, as far as the vesh, we're not dealing with. We're dealing primarily with the gargaris. Because if the gargaris has a large enough break in it, then there's no question the animal is nevela. It can't breathe. As opposed to, you could argue with the vesh. Fine, a hole in the vesh makes the animal safer, because eventually food will leak out of it inside the body and set up infections or whatever. But nevertheless, maybe you can't call the animal nevela on those grounds.
definitely a trace, it's not in a bit.
Right, so that's two different ways of understanding what when the Gemara quotes over here in the Kuvas Aveshul, Sukkot HaGagaret, is a saying that both of them, it's understanding, should be Neveva. That's how Rashi learns, for example, because Rashi learns that when we said in the Gemara that anything where it's possible, at the end of the Mishnah, Kolsa Shenifsal B'Shchitasa, that Rabbi Shevim's rule is wherever it's possible in the Shchita, that it's Nevela, Rashi understands. It doesn't just mean during the Shchita process, it means any time when it's possible in something that's relevant to the Shchita, namely either the Kohen or the Vesht. On the other hand, other Rishonim, I think the Rosh, for example, don't learn that way. They hold that the Kuvas HaVesh would be, if the animal has a hole in its vesh, it will be Shreifa, but it won't be Nevela necessarily. Okay. Anyways, Omar Rav. So the point is, at least as far as the Gagaret, and maybe as far as the Vesh also, this Mishnah at the beginning of the next parrot calls it Shreifa. But here, Rabbi Sheva, and eventually Rabbi Akiva, seem to be saying that it's Nevela, not Shreifa. Omar Rav, so Rav says, like Kasha, Kansha Shachat Vosai Posak, Kansha Posak Vosai Shachat. You could say like this. When you shechted the vesh and later on cut the gageres incorrectly, then we would say that it would be considered only tzreifa. As opposed to kantra posak over so shocha. The other way around, sorry. One second. Kantra posak over so shocha, kantra shocha over so posak, kantra posak over so shocha. You cut one of them incorrectly and the other one correctly, and you can have the other way around. We would say like this. Shachat will say Pasak, if you started by shechting one of them properly, for example, the Vesh, and later on you cut the Gageret incorrectly, fine, you can call that Nifsalas the Shchita. That can be called that it became possible during the Shchita process, because you already started the Shchita process by cutting one of them properly. Therefore, that would be Nevela. Therefore, that was where Sheva and Rabbi Akiva agrees to in our Mishnah would be Nevela. Pasak will say Shachat, as opposed to if you cut the Gageret wrongly, and later on, you shechted the vest, or the other way around, then you could consider it as if it's like a side thing that caused it to become possible. It wasn't part of the shechita process. The cutting of the first one is not considered then part of the shechita process because it was done incorrectly. It was done with one of the five solon of shechita.
So why shouldn't be in a veil?
So therefore, that's because it's only because according to the rule in our Mishnah, it's only in a veil when the soul was during the shechita process. And here it wasn't during the shchita process, because if you did, for example, if you use a knife with a nick in it, that's not part of the shchita process, because the shchita process involves using a smooth knife and not doing shahiyah, and not doing chalada, etc. Okay. However, so when shachat al osay pasak, if you start that with a proper shchita and then continues with a sticker, that's when Rabbi Sheva and Rabbi Akiva would be saying it's nevela. But if you started out with shchita, then Rava said that's what the Mishnah means, the beginning of the next parak. But if you had sukkah tagageres, if you cut the gageres first without doing it as a proper shchita, for example, with a knife with a nick in it, later on you cut the vesh, then now you have, with a proper knife, now you have the animal of shchita, not an avera. That's how, because the beginning was not even a shchita. Okay. Eitzveir of Acha Bahuna Rava, however, Acha Bahuna says to Rava, I have a contradiction. Because let's read our Mishnah again. Shachat at the vesh with pasek at the gageres. If he shechted the vesh and then he cut the gageres wrongly. Again, pasek means that he somehow did something wrong with it, ik or chalado or what have you. Anything but shechita, right? Or pasek at the gageres la'achat shachat at the vesh. Or the other way around, he cut the gageres badly and then he cut the vesh properly. Nevela. Then it's nevela if one's Rabbi Sheva. So in other words, it doesn't seem to matter whether it was shchita or psika, whether the shchita came first or whether the psika came first. Okay, the answer is, Aima, fine. You could answer the Mishnah means, in the first case, it doesn't mean that he shechted the vesh first. It means Aima ukvar shochat the vesh nesra. It means he was posek at the gageres and already at that point had shechted the vesh. By the way, you have the Shonim who point out, now, in other words, even though when he shechted the vesh, at that point he had already been pasek at the gageres. Oh no, the other way around. In the second case, when we said pasek at the gageres va'achatach shachas the vesh mevela, Rava would say it's not va'achatach. In fact, you have the Shonim who point out, even though we had in the Mishnah printed in front of us the word va'achatach, the Shonim point out evidently. Rava did not have that in his view of the Mishnah. Because then obviously you can't say that. It means it's the other way around. So he would have had the girsa in the Mishnah that shachar zavesh or pasek as a gageret. So therefore, we can say it means he was pasek as a gageret, having already shechted the vesh. And therefore, being available according to his rules, because he did the shechita part first.
I can have a problem with girsa.
Yeah. Omerle, so Rav Acha Bar Huna says to Rav, that was my group. Shtei Trubas to Rav, I have two refutations to what you're saying. Chada, the Haino Kamaisa. Number one, that's exactly the same as the first case. The first case was he shechted the vesh, and then he posek as a gageret. You're telling me the second one, posek as a gageret, and shochak as a vesh means the opposite of the way it says, that he shochak the vesh, and then posek as a gageret, and it's exactly the same thing again. That's one. But oid, and number two, Hosnan va'achakach. Number two, our Mishnah says va'achakach. Or, okay, even if you don't have the girsa in our Mishnah va'achakach, so in Gilyon Ashas, it brings that the Rav Akiva Eger brings in Gilyon Ashas, and also Agoy Tabach says it's not Snan, but Tanya. You learn in a Braisa of the word va'achakach. So even you want to say our Mishnah didn't say va'achakach, fine, but a Braisa spells out it means va'achakach. It means in that order. First he taught the Katagazeras, and then he shafted the Vesh. So therefore, no. In other words, either it's a different girsa in the Mishnah, or even forget about the Mishnah, the Braisa clearly says Va'achakach. So you, Rava, want to say that in the Mishnah, it means he shechted the Vesh. He caught the Kasagagaret after he had already shechted the Vesh. But the word Va'achakach contradicts that. From the Braisa, yeah. Okay, so that answer doesn't work. That answer doesn't work. El Omar Rava. So Rava says, okay, never mind that answer. Let's answer, again, the question began the fact that we have the next paragraph begins Elu Trefus, and the first two we mentioned are where there you have a hole in the vesh, or the Gageret, and you're asking based on our Mishnah, they're not Trefus, they're rather Debeah. So rather, Rava answers what it means is, it doesn't mean, when it says Elu Trefus, it doesn't actually mean per se Trefus. Elu Asuras, for fun. Really what the Mishnah means over there is the following cases, the animal is also. The Yeshman and the Bailas, the Yeshman and Tracer. Some of them are author as the Bailas, some of them are author as Tracer. In other words, even though the Mishnah starts off with Elu Tracer, we're not really changing the wording of the Mishnah. In fact, the Mephoshim points out that Rava himself in a different Gemara says you can't really say that the Tana made a mistake in the wording of the Mishnah. Yeah, but we're kind of giving it a different meaning. We're saying the word Tracer has a broader meaning. The same way as in modern terminology, we use the word Trace to mean anything that's author, whether it's Nevela or Trace or Basel Bacholov or what have you. The same thing, the Mishnah can be using the word Trace in a broader sense to mean that they're author. Some of them as Tracer, some of them as Nevela that are actually the time of Trumas Nevela. Okay.
Tosfos agrees with that?
Oh, yeah, except that Tosfos discusses the question of the Gemara was that should say Elu Nevelus, because that's the Iker Iser over there. So the point is, if we say that you can't shecht it because there was Akira, because the sibling was dislocated, or because it has a hole in it or whatever, then what it means is eventually it's going to end up being Nevela. So why are you not focusing on that rather than Shefer? And the answer is because it uses the word Shefer more broadly.
Okay. Also including Nevela.
So the question is then, okay, in that case, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is listing things that are Nevela and things that are Tracer, then in that case, the Mishnah's list in the next paragraph is incomplete. The Lichsh of Nami de Chizkiyah. Then in that case, the Mishnah, for example, should also list the Din that Chizkiyah said. The Amma Chizkiyah also existed on Nevela, which Chizkiyah said, we learned in the first paragraph. That if you made the animal Gistera, then it's Nevela. Gistera, as we said, you made a deep cut into the animal that goes all the way into the cavity, into the body cavity inside the animal, we're not necessarily from the ear. We said you could go from the back, for example, or from the front of the neck or whatever, but you went all the way deep into the body. Just did all the things to cut it in half. But Chizkiya says, not necessarily the simonim. Maybe you bypassed the simonim, but the point is the cut went deeply into the animal. It went through the skin, through the muscles, through the bones, all the way into the inside of the body. So then that's considered Nevela. So Mela, if you're going to say the Mishnah in Teret Elu Treifa is listing only things that are Treifa, not Nevela, okay, so it doesn't list that, so it's considered Nevela. But if you're going to tell me now that Mishnah is listing things that are Nevela as well, the way Rava is explaining, then why doesn't it include Chizkiyah's din? The Lichsh of Nami Drabalazar, and another question would be that it should also mention Rabbi Lazar's case. The Amr of Allah, the Nitla Yerach B'chol Shala Nevela, we also learned over there that Rabbi Lazar says that if the thigh bone of the animal was taken out, and you have the cavity, the socket where it's supposed to go into is visible because you don't have enough skin, you don't have enough skin and muscle and whatever to cover it, so you can see
the hip bone.
Not the hip bone, which is the pelvis, but rather the thigh bone, the top bone of the three bones, of the three large bones of the animal's leg. Here, let me bring the diagram.
Very low.
Here's a side view of the animal. So you have three long bones that make up the length of the leg. And the top one of them fits into a socket in the hip bone, in the pelvis, just like ours do.
Right.
So that's the one we're talking about. If that whole bone was removed, and now you have the socket that's open over there, then Rabbi Lazar is telling us the animal is in the veil of Mechatz. That's what we said, No, it's at the other end of the body. But that alone is enough to make it the veil, because it's not going to be able to lift it. No, okay, so it's the thigh bone is torn out of its joint with the hip bone.
Yeah,
the hip bone means the pelvis. Okay.
Because
I guess there's too much loss of blood, or because I don't know, whatever it is. But so again, we have two cases over there where the animal is considered nevela. If you're going to tell me that the Mishnah in Eilat Shreifos lists only things that are shreifa, not things that are nevela, then good. But if you're going to tell me it's also listing things that are nevela, and therefore you're telling me it's listing Nukuvat Avesh and Sukkot Agagerin, which are nevela, then it should have listed these two as well.
When it becomes a nevela,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we said Rabbi Lazar said that, and we don't find anybody disagreeing with him, yeah. The answer is, Ki katani nevela de la mitana mechai. Yes, but the Mishnah is only listing cases where, yes, the animal is a nevela, but it doesn't have the full status of nevela. As long as it is alive, it's not mitana chumas nevela. But no, that's the point. The two cases of Chizkiah and of Rav Elazar are cases where it's even further than the case of Mekovat Avesh and Sukkot Agagera. In other words, we have like this. Right now, the Gemara is saying there's three categories. You have most kinds of things in an animal that you have a lot of different things in an animal that will make it shreif, but not nevela. For example, problems with the lungs, or problems with the brain, or whatever, all the different ones that we'll learn in Perek Eilat Shreifos. So those make the animal shreifa, but not nevela. If it is shechted properly, then it won't have too much nevela. And if a person eats from it, he's only chayav malchus for eating shreifa, not for eating nevela. Then you have this case of sukkas agageret, where a majority of the gageret was cut while the animal is alive. It is nevela, however, it's not metama mechayim. As long as it is still physically alive and breathing, if a person touches it or carries it or whatever, he doesn't become tummy. Then you have chizkiyas and Rav Elazar's cases where the animal is considered nevela, even mechayim. So those, alva nevela, the metama mechayim, like Katani, the Gemara is not listed, the Mishnah is not listing cases of nevela which are so far removed from Trefa that they're even Matamah, the animal is even Matamah while it's still alive. The case of Gistura and the case of Yerach Shemitol are cases, even though the animal is still breathing and whatever, nevertheless, the person touches it or carries it, he already becomes tough. So it's considered as if it's dead. Those the Mishnah is not listed. But the case where the Gagaris was cut, that sort of in-between thing, you could argue it is nevela, but not yet, only when it actually dies from this, then it will be considered nevela, even if it was shafted in between. So the Mishnah could be left.
You said the nevela is killing an animal without shechita.
Right. So we would say, therefore, that since he would have a hole in the gagaret or in the vesh, it means it can't be shechted. It's as if it was already, it can't be shechted. Or choice was also with the point about the tikkur, if either of the simonim was dislocated, you can't shecht them, same idea. Nevertheless, though, the animal is not nevela until it actually dies, as opposed to the case of Gistra or the case of Yerach Lachalala, where they, even as long as the animal is alive, it's already considered nevela. So those, the Mishnah wouldn't be the one. Because I guess those is going to die from faster. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, the implication of the hip will save them to
die. No, that's the point. That's the point. And that's one of the ones we said it's nevela Mechayim. Those two are nevela Mechayim. While it's alive.
Gistra,
yeah. Those
anatomically involves what?
Involves a deep cut into the animal. No, not necessarily into the heart. Deep enough into the body cavity. It could be into the chest, it could be into the back, it could be whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So all of that was all of that then is Rava's explanation of our Mishnah, of how our Mishnah doesn't contradict the one in Eilat Shreifus, because the Mishnah in Eilat Shreifus is listing not only things that are Shreifa, but also some things that are Nevela, provided that it's the kind of Nevela that's not Matana Mechana. Okay, now a different answer. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar, Rav Shlakish says, here's another way of reconciling it. Who is the Mishnah of Eilat Shreifus like? Rav Shlakish doesn't want to take the view that Shreifus is meant in a broader sense and it just means things that are author. He says Shreifus means exactly what it sounds like, things that are only Shreifus, not Nevela. So then what are we doing with the fact that our Mishnah said that if he cut the Gargaris first, or improperly cut the Gargaris first, then he said it's Nevela, but the next Mishnah, but the Mishnah there says that the Nekova Gargaris is only Shreifus. So Rav Shlakish reconciled it. Kan sheshochat the mokum chasach, kan sheshochat shalom the mokum chasach. It's a difference. Where did he shech? Did he shech where the hole itself, or where the cut itself is already, or did he cut in a different part of the neck? Our Mishnah is talking about that you have, for example, so let's say you have in some part of the gargaris, you have, let's say over here in the gargaris, you have a hole that goes 51% of the way around it. He cuts into that hole and completes cutting the gargaris. That would be the case, that our Mishnah is saying it's Nevela because already 51% of it was cut from beforehand. The Mishnah in Eilat Shreifus means, let's say there was a similar cut, but he didn't do the Shchita cut right there. He did the Shchita cut, let's say, over here. So that would be, the Mishnah would be saying, therefore, that it was Shreifa rather than Nevela. According to the Shlakish, in other words, the idea is, it's only if the soul is in the place where the Shchita actually takes place. Not like Rava was assuming that it's anywhere in the area where the Shchita could take place.
In the hip, it wouldn't count.
No. So according to Rav Shlakish, the Mishnah is not going to list the Mishnah over there in Eilat Shreifus. Is not listing the hip. Is not listing the Gistra. Is not even listing, because not relevant, because those are on the Vela. Never mind, because not on the Shreifus. Those are on the Vela. The Mishnah there is only listing Shreifus.
So if it was 51% beforehand and you checked it someone else, it would say
it would be Shreifus, not the Vela. That's how Rav Shlakish said it. The difference is like this. Shochat the makam chas. The difference is like this. If you shechted where there was already a cut in the besht or the gagera, nifsal of a shechit, then it can be called posel in the shechit, because then you shechted in a place that's already posel. Shalom the makam chasach, whereas if you shechted elsewhere in the neck, ki dava achav gara moli posel danya, then it's like as if something else made it posel that's not relevant to the shechit. Therefore, the only shechit, according to the Bishavah's rule in our mission. Okay. So the question is, did Rav Shlakish really say that explanation? Well, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, didn't Rav Shlakish also say a din as follows? Shachat as a kana, suppose a person shechted through the kana, with properly, v'achakach nikva hareya, then there developed a hole in one of the lungs. So right then, for example, somebody took a sword and stabbed the animal in the lung, let's say. Now normally, holes in the lung would make a shreifa. However, Ksheira, he learned the animal was kosher in this case.
It was shechted before.
Alma, only one simon was shechted yet. Hold on, he didn't shech both simonim. But why Alma, which proves that Rav Shlakish holds, command the mancha b'dikula damya. Once the kona has been cut, now the lung has no further connection with the animal, basically. Now it's not doing any function in the animal. Because the function of the lung is to breathe out and in and out through the kona, and now it can't, because the kona is cut. Therefore, the lung is now effectively considered as if it's in a basket, as if it's like not even part of the animal anymore. By the way, the Me'iri brings an opinion, and you have one of the Achronim, the Rosh Yosef, also brings that maybe what that would mean is even if you were to take a piece of the lung at that point and eat it, maybe it wouldn't be Eivim and Achar. So if we're saying over here, according to Rosh Lakish, that's considered like it's detached from the animal, the Rashba says that not. The Rashba says we're only talking about as far as Tokhot Shrek. As far as Eivim and Achar, for sure the whole Shrek has to be completed. Okay, anyway. So, Hochanami, the same thing you should argue over here, that once most of the kana was already cut through, Kamanda Mancha B'dikola Dami, it should already be considered B'chumra, as if it's already in a basket, meaning, in other words, so who cares whether you shechted in the place where the hole was or not? Once you have the majority of it was cut through, it's as if the animal doesn't have its lungs anymore, so there you only have, it's as if it doesn't have a kana anymore at all, you only have one simen, so how are you making it not in the Nevela anymore? The answer is no. So the answer is Ella Amr of Chiyah Ba'aba Amr of Yechanan. So that doesn't work. So rather, the Chiyah Ba'aba. Yeah. So therefore, the Chiyah Ba'aba says in the name of Yechanan, and here's a different way of reconciling it, like Asher, Kan Kodim Chazara, Kan Ma'acha Chazara. Very simple. the Mishnah in Eilut Shreifas was learned before Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, before Rabbi Akiva agreed with Rabbi Sheva, when he started arguing with Rabbi Sheva in our Mishnah, saying that the animal, that the Shechita could have been improper, and yet the animal was not Neveila, only Shreifa. And one example would be if you cut through the Karna badly, and then you cut through the Vesh properly. So fine, the Mishnah, and the next parrot goes according to that. Tamla Acha Chazara. Our Mishnah is telling us what happened after the Bakiva changed his mind. Why does the next Mishnah continue to list Sukkot HaGageres and then the Kovat HaVesh if in the end Rabbi Akiva holds that those are Neveila and not Sreka? Because the Mishnah results in them Kaima, because once a Mishnah is formulated, it doesn't move from its place. Mishnayas will learn Baal Peh. So even after Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, they didn't want to take that Mishnah out of the rotation, so to speak, because they'll confuse people or change the wording of the Mishnah. Right? So they'll confuse. But really, really, once Rabbi Akiva changed his mind in our Mishnah, then yes, the next Mishnah, when we say in the Kovat HaVesh, the Sukkot HaGageres, those would not really be among the list of Shreifas anymore, those would actually be among the list of Neveilah. That's Rabbi Yechonon's answer. Okay. So that's it, and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with discussing Rish Lakish's opinion about what happened if you cut the Kana and then there's a hole in the Reya. So we'll talk about that, we'll talk more about that tomorrow, and we'll the Reya is long.
Shoya, Rabbi. Shoya.
Yeah.